south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. With today's show, we've kind of reached a milestone with The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. This is my 400th show, meaning we've been doing this thing for almost exactly 4 years now. In fact, I think I've only missed 3 shows in all that time. That said, today I'd like to hit on the topic of clueless gringos. It's understandable that when any first world person gets down to Latin America, there's going to be a big period of adjustment. And if you stick it out after a couple years, you'll look back on certain things that you did and say, God, was I stupid. Now, not stupid in the sense that you moved down to Latin America. In fact, most of us find out it's the best thing we ever did. However, when we're first down here dealing with a completely new and different culture, and our language skills suck, looking back sometimes with embarrassment, we've all done some pretty stupid-ass things. And the trick is to either recognize them as unproductive or wastes of time and money, and not to continue doing them. However, I find that when you're on the gringo tourist trail, like for example in Costa Rica and Panama, etc., etc., gringos and expats there keep repeatedly doing the same dumbass things over and over again because, you see, there's so many gringos around on the tourist trail that newly arrived gringos just look to them as an example and do what they do, thinking, hey, they've been down a while, they're in the groove, they must know what's going on, so I'll just do what they do. Meanwhile, us gringos and expats off the gringo tourist trail, where there are virtually no clueless gringos to emulate, we can evaluate things more realistically and see how the locals do things and adapt and adjust our ways accordingly. Now, let me give you just one example here on how clueless gringos really are. Now, the truth is that every gringo who's ever been down to Latin America has had a bout or two or 10 with Montezuma's Revenge, and soon enough, learns if they eat food from a street vendor, they're taking a chance, and in the end, pun intended, it's just not worth it. Now, in our discussion, we'll leave out backpackers here because it seems no matter how many battles they've had with Montezuma's Revenge, the temptation of an ultra-cheap meal from a street vendor often overrides common sense. So, I'm talking about your average gringo visitor or tourist. So, that said, expats soon learn that once they buy their fruits and vegetables at the market or wherever, when they get them home, they have to disinfect them or risk a date with the porcelain goddess. So then we have on the shelves, in the produce department of every Latin grocery store, various bottles and brands of liquids and sprays, general food disinfectants just for that purpose. So you soak and agitate your fruits and vegetables for 5 minutes or so, then rinse them in pure water and they're all set to go. Anyway, when you're on the gringo tourist trail at one of these grocery stores, you'll see as gringos mosey through the produce aisle that they and the wealthier Latin classes will buy bottles of this stuff, though the poor and the middle class folks never do. That's because gringos and wealthier Latins are smarter, right? Well, not so fast. I just happen to have one of these little disinfectant bottles in front of me. A typical example. And here's what the label says. First of all, the brand name is Pura Vida. Now, have you heard that one before? If you've been to Costa Rica, you have. It's their national anthem. You see it on t-shirts and signs and billboards everywhere. You know, you don't hear it anywhere else in Latin America, only in Costa Rica, and usually it's your short-term clueless gringo who's blabbing it all the time. But oddly enough, long-term gringos in Costa Rica only use it sarcastically, as if to say, yeah, right, pura vida, which, by the way, means the pure life or the good life. And that's what it used to be like in Costa Rica before the gringos invaded, which is why when long-term expats in Costa Rica hear someone say pura vida, they know he's a green gringo tenderfoot and hasn't been here long. But I digress. Anyway, I have in front of me a half-liter bottle of pura vida, ultra poderoso, which means extra strong, disinfectante for fruits and vegetables. And this half-liter bottle, 500 milliliters, is just over $2. So far, so good, right? Now, as for the ingredients, it says here the main ingredient is 0.5% sodium hypochlorite and the rest pure water. And, you know, just one thing here. Why is it they always say pure water? It turns out on food labels and such, no one ever just says agua, water, like they do up in the first world. Here it's always stated as pure water, agua pura. So does that mean somehow if only the word water appeared in a product without the word pure or pura, does that mean it's contaminated sewer water or toilet water maybe? Oh well, this is Latin America. Now, for example, if you pick up a bottle of Coca-Cola, it'll have the ingredients, etc., plus pure water. Now, is it necessary to say that? I don't know. On top of that, is it really necessary when you go into a restaurant and order water that you should have to say a bottle of agua pura, por favor? As if you don't spell it out like that, they might just give you a bottle of sewer water? I wonder. So anyway, it says on the label of this bottle of Pura Vida, disinfectant for fruits and vegetables, use 2 spoonfuls in a basin of water. Agitate your fruits and vegetables for 5 minutes, then rinse. And you guessed it, agua pura. Like if they hadn't have mentioned that important point, you might just use gutter water or dish water, right? Yeah, but besides that, there's something wrong with this picture, and I'll tell you what it is if you haven't figured it out already. For one thing, it's clueless gringos and wealthy Latins who are buying this stuff. It's flying off the shelves, by the way, on the tourist trail, especially like in Panama and Costa Rica. So then, what's the problem? Why? It's pure, regular old household bleach, sodium hypochlorite, and water, of course. That's it. So notice just a few steps away in the soap aisle, you've got regular old bleach with exactly the same ingredients. That's if you forgot sodium hypochlorite, Clorox and the house brands. And guess what? Down here, you can buy a gallon, which is about 4 liters of said bleach, the house brand, for about $2. In other words, if you'd bother to have read the label and walked about 10 feet, you could buy a gallon of bleach and get 8 times as much disinfectant for the very same price, or slightly less, actually. So do note that every gringo in the checkout aisle with one of those Pura Vida half-liter bottles is a clueless gringo, no doubt. But it gets worse. If you again look at the ingredients on that little bottle of Pura Vida disinfectant, you'll find the sodium hypochlorite, the active ingredient, is there at 0.5%. That's 0.5%. But here's the kicker. If you buy regular old kitchen bleach, like Clorox or the store brand, you'll find it's at a concentration of 3%, 3.0%, which is 6 times as powerful and concentrated as that little bottle of Pura Vida with the nice, somewhat first world flowery label on it. Not only are you paying 8 times as much when you buy the Pura Vida brand, it's 1/6 as concentrated as your regular bleach. So, in effect, any clueless gringo or upscale Latin buying this stuff is paying, get this now and let it sink in, 48 times as much as he or she has to. So then the bottom line is there are so many damn gringos in places like Costa Rica that they all kind of follow each other's lead and buy this crap. And there are dozens and dozens of other examples like that. What a bunch of fools, huh? So then the point is, it's not enough to just read the label. You gotta pull out the calculator or dredge out the old 4th grade math skills and then, as Jethro Bodeen would say, commence deciphering. Are you getting this? I hope you do, because there are thousands upon thousands of people in places like Costa Rica, Panama, Mexico, Dominican Republic, etc., places on the tourist trail where gringos are just not paying attention. So then, are they being ripped off? No, they're just being clueless and stupid. And a little later in the show, I'm going to give you another great example of clueless gringos in action. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that when you're off the gringo tourist trail where there are hardly any gringos to be found, if you go into a place like Walmart or a big grocery store, you won't find bottles of that Pura Vida stuff or its equivalent. You will. Don't worry. You will. But guess who's buying it? Not gringos. There are so few of us around. In fact, where I've been hanging around lately, I can go into a Walmart repeatedly, 6 or 7 times in a row, and never see a single gringo in the whole place. So if that high-priced disinfectant is all over the place, even off the gringo tourist trail, who's buying it? Well, of course, it's the upper middle class and wealthy gringo wannabes who somewhere along the line heard or saw that gringos were using the stuff. Probably saw them buying the stuff when they were on a trip to Costa Rica. Who knows? Can't you see it's part of that gringo advantage? That practically anything that catches on with gringos will catch on down in Latin America in a big way, eventually. No matter if it really has merit or not. And about this disinfectant stuff that's overpriced by about 50 times. Every time I walk past that little display in the grocery store, I'm a little saddened that I didn't think of it first. Oh well. Now, shifting gears for a second, people do write me emails asking about drugs. So-called illegal drugs. You know, recreational drugs. And in emails, people mention that since the northern part of South America and Central America are drug corridors and producers, certain curious listeners want to know what the price is on the street down here in Latin America for those same drugs. So then, are the people who write these emails to me casual users or just curious? Who knows? We make no judgments here at the Expat Files. So anyway, I interviewed a couple of Latin college kids. I mean, come on. Why not skip the BS and go right to the source? And I asked them how much they would have to pay for certain recreational drugs. Well, first of all, I found out a gram of cocaine, which is virtually pure because down here they don't cut it. Why would they? Is around $6 to $10. And by the way, I also found out they don't call a gram of cocaine a gram. They call it a diente, a tooth. Which, by the way, turns out to be a clear plastic vial with a little cap on it that looks just like a tooth. Or, more to the point, it looks like a canine or vampire tooth. And an ounce of marijuana for a local college kid goes for around $15 to $20. And yes, I just found out they have crack down here too. Who'da thunk? And that goes for about $10 a gram, or diente, meaning again, tooth. And as for party designer drugs like ecstasy, the going rate's about $7 to $10 a tablet. Now remember, these college kids I'm talking to are upper middle class, meaning their parents make $20,000 a year or more. Yep, that qualifies you for upper middle class down here. It's just amazing. These upper middle class guys and gals that go to private universities down here have copied everything first world. Or try to, at least. They copy the way they think first world college students act and dress, along with stupid addictions to pointless social media like Facebook and Twitter. And here's a question for you. Where do you think every last one of these college kids wants to go for spring break? Nope, not Cancun, Playa del Carmen, or Costa Rica, where every last first world college kid wants to go for spring break. I'll give you one guess. Miami. Yep, Miami. But since it is out of the budget for the majority of these college kids, I mean, let's face it, upper middle class down here is strictly poverty row up in the States. So because Miami is a pipe dream for nearly all college kids down here, upper middle class Latin college kids pester and beg their parents for a spring break trip to Cancun or Costa Rica. Why? Give you one guess. Because it's the nearest place on earth they can rub shoulders with real first world gringo college kids. But where was I? Oh yeah, talking about the availability and the cost of recreational drugs down here in Latin America. So as I was talking to this little group of gringo wannabe college students, I also discovered from one of these guys who's been back and forth to Costa Rica, he said the cost of street drugs in Costa Rica is 3 times what it is in the rest of Latin America. Like he said, even paying 3 or 4 times as much for recreational drugs, gringos think it's a great deal compared to what they pay for the stuff up in the States. So this Latin college kid and his buddies again proved the point that wherever gringos go, price inflation follows in all sectors of the economy. So then I asked this private school college kid and his friends, how many people he knew who'd been busted. And between that little group, there was 3 guys and 2 girls. Not one of them had been or knew anyone that had been busted. However, they said they've had a few routine stops, that is, car roadblocks on Friday and Saturday nights in the popular nightclub district, and 2 or 3 times they had to give up a little of their stash to the cops, that is, which they never got back and never got fined and never got ticketed or even reprimanded. Though the one kid said he once paid a cop a $20 bribe, just so the guy wouldn't search his car. Turns out,
He paid it to a motorcycle cop who pulled him over for driving erratically and wanted to search his car. And the kid said the cop just winked and smiled when he stuck his head in the window of the car, which he said just reeked of booze and bud. And for the uninitiated, the term bud does not refer to an Anheuser-Busch product. So the kid pulled out his license, then handed him $20 and was on his way. Now, speaking of drugs here, you might wonder, since they grow all the stuff here in Latin America, why do people even bother to buy marijuana, for one thing, since it grows like a weed everywhere? Well, the fact is, there really isn't much of a local market for marijuana down here at all. But there's a very big market for marijuana within the expat and tourist communities. Like, for example, at all the gringo tourist areas and beach resorts. Oftentimes, as soon as you land at the airport and you get your shuttle to your hotel and you take your very first walk along the beach, if it's anything of a tourist destination at all, sooner or later, some local guy is going to walk up to you. More than likely, a guy renting beach chairs or selling ice cream and soda and beer from a cooler. Chances are he's going to ask you in broken English if you need anything else. You'll know what he's trying to sell you. Just know that if you're in the market and you buy something extra from a guy like that, you're going to pay 3 or 4 times what the locals pay. Oh, and by the way, I've been asked this question a number of times too. They say, could it be a setup trying to entrap a gringo? To which I say, well, anything's possible, but I've never heard of that happening. It just turns out that on the gringo tourist trail, it's a flourishing side business to make money off of gringos like that. So when you think about it, what's in it for them to entrap a gringo? Not much. They just want to make the deal and move on to the next gringo. Hopefully some friends of yours. And one word of warning here. These guys are just small-time businessmen whose real day job is selling hot dogs or sunglasses or renting beach chairs. So if you're staying at a hotel or hanging around a beach yourself, guys like that will be regular fixtures there. But no matter how many times you see them around or how friendly they get to you or you to them, if you end up buying something a little extra from one of these guys, don't get into a cab with them and head off to parts unknown. Then you'd really be a stupid, clueless gringo now, wouldn't you? But you'd be surprised how many stories I've heard that seem to follow that pattern coming out of the country of Costa Rica alone. It's true, newly landed gringos with stars in their eyes, seeing bird of paradise and palm trees for the first time, they're easily spotted by locals and get taken to the cleaners all the time. Often, they don't even know it, and actually come back for more. Now, remember, I'm not recommending any of this stuff, not at all. I'm just telling you what it's like to live down here as an expat or gringo in Latin America. So now you're a little bit more informed and a little bit smarter, right? I hope. Which brings me to an interesting email that's slightly off topic, and it starts out like this. Johnny, we've been listening to your podcast since 2010, knowing then we would be making plans to move somewhere in Latin America to live the good life. I've written before about questions on Mexico, and that's where we've landed for now. And yes, I know you don't recommend Mexico. Anyhow, in 2011, we traveled to Ecuador, sure that it was where we would start our expat adventures, but we didn't fall in love with the areas we visited and found that travel there was expensive and complicated. Now, we have my 84-year-old father-in-law in poor health, and he comes with us wherever we land. So figuring Mexico was close and easy, this is where we decided to start our trial run until something further south made sense. In 2012, we moved to Baja California Sur to a small town called Loreto, and this spring, we moved to a small surf town north of Puerto Vallarta. We do really hope to get out of Mexico soon, but again, the old man doesn't travel well and is not crazy about being dragged from place to place. So, that's our story so far, but not exactly why I'm writing you today. So, here's the point. I recently heard a podcast you did talking about the ever-present hormigas in Latin America. That's ants, hormigas of different kinds. And what to do about them. I know when talking about the tiny, almost microscopic ones on the counters in the kitchen, you just recommend letting them be, that they simply take care of any little crumbs and soon disappear. Now, while I've noticed that is the case, it makes my skin crawl to walk in the kitchen and see dozens, if not hundreds of them in a pile on a single crumb that I never saw in the first place. Yuck. Also, when our container that holds the jug of drinking water gets empty on the stand, those damn little Ormegas, ants, make a trail up the legs and end up in our drinking water. Even yuckier. At first, I did try spraying them with chemicals and sprinkling powders that all claimed to kill them, but they didn't stay away and the chemicals are pretty noxious. So next, my daughter had told me she rubs tea tree oil on surfaces around the house to keep the spiders away, so I brought some back down with me when we were last in the States. I also brought down some cinnamon oil and a few other essential oils that I brought with me as well. So then I wiped down my counters with the tea tree oil on a paper towel, but that was only marginally effective with the ants. So next, I tried the cinnamon oil and it worked like a charm. I even wiped the legs of the water stand and no more ants in our water either. So now I do this every few days, and when I start to see some ants reappear, I sprinkle a few drops in the corners and other places where I've seen them making a trail. And the cinnamon scent is very pleasant with no toxic fumes. Just thought I'd share that with you on the chance you might want to share it with your listeners at some future podcast. If not, no worries, I won't be offended. Oh, and also worth mentioning is the fact that I've seen no spiders or other bugs in my kitchen since. Anyway, thank you for all the expat wisdom you share with us. The information has been invaluable. For now, adios, Diana. Well, thanks for the kudos, Diana. And I do admire you for getting your boots on the ground like that and traveling and visiting a lot of Latin places. I know it's especially difficult when you have to drag around an old-timer like that, someone who's 84, you say? So just a few things about your email now. You say you have a jug on a water stand. I know what that's all about. You probably have a service or you go to the grocery store and buy those 5-gallon jugs called jarrones, right? Well, if you're doing that, you're doing the wrong thing because that's not really pure water, even though it's called agua pura, you know. You really, really have to get your own water purification system installed. That is, making your own water, then you won't have it sitting there in a jug all day. You'll just have it on demand from a little spout. And it really will be an unlimited supply on demand. That means no stagnant water in a plastic jug just sitting there all day, waiting for ants or whatever to make a swimming pool out of it. So if you send me an email request, I'll send you the instructions for my own personal water purification setup. You can set the whole thing up for a little over $100. Basically, it's an under-the-sink job with two standard plastic canisters. The first canister with a ceramic filter and the second with a carbon block filter. And believe me, the water will be so pure you could use it in a kidney dialysis machine. I'm not kidding. And for anyone else out there who wants a free copy of my installation, just send me an email. That's theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And how long do those filters last? Well, the ceramic filter could last 10, maybe 20 years. Now, you see, when you notice the water flow starts slowing down, then you take the filter out and you lightly sand the outer layer till it's nice and bright white again, and you put it right back. And you change that carbon block filter every 6 months to a year. And what's that cost? Maybe $15. That's $15 a year to have absolutely pure water. That said, I didn't know about the tea tree oil thing, which doesn't seem to work all that well, but I did know about the cinnamon. Now, like I said, most of us long-term expats eventually give up on those tiny little ants and just let them splurge on a crumb for a half an hour and then they go away. However, if in your mind it's truly yucky, you don't have to let it go on. Cinnamon is a great solution, whether in an oil or a powder. And if you got the powder, you can make the oil yourself. It's easy. Now, you might remember at the beginning of the show, I said I was going to talk about another clueless gringo move. Well, in this case, it has to do with cinnamon, known in Spanish as canela. Canela. Okay, now for all you guys and gals out there who are really health conscious, you know that cinnamon should be in your diet. The fact is, just lately, cinnamon has been written up all over in the alternative medicine news as a kind of a miracle drug, along the lines of curcumin. And speaking of curcumin, down here you can buy a pound of the stuff in powder form for around $3. Now, I'm not going to get into the specific qualities of cinnamon, because you probably know all about that already. But know this, they grow this stuff down here and they sell it everywhere. If you go into the central markets down here in Latin America, little guys will be walking around with bundles of the stuff and they'll sell sticks, which are actually the peeled off bark of a cinnamon tree. So if you buy it that way, it's totally natural and unadulterated. However, if you go to one of these big central markets, you'll be able to buy cinnamon powder in bulk for about $4 to $5 a pound. And believe me, a pound will last you forever. Now, here's where the clueless gringo part comes in. It turns out that 99% of gringos who buy cinnamon or other spices in small quantities buy it in their Walmart or in a regular supermarket. They come in little hermetically sealed packages. From McCormick, you know that name, they're down here too, and local Latin brands too. So the fact is, you go to any gringo's house down here, and you'll see a jumble of these various little spice packets scattered around the kitchen. And of course, upscale Latins have switched over to the convenient little store packs too. Well, my advice is don't buy those little packages. Instead, buy bulk in one of the big markets. Why? Well, let me just read you from the ingredient list on one of these store-bought little cinnamon packets. In Spanish, of course, so I'll translate. Ingredients: canela, which is cinnamon, dextrose, which is sugar, trigo, which is flour, silicon dioxide, so it doesn't cake up. And then it says this, which shocked the hell out of me. It says this package could also contain gluten and or pieces of the following: fish, shrimp, milk, eggs, soy protein, sesame, or other cooking oils. Yuck. Or as Diana would say, what could be yuckier? So how'd that happen? Just goes to show you better read the labels. Better yet, buy your stuff in bulk at the big market. Believe me, when you buy it direct from the farmer, there's no artificial or processed stuff there. That said, if so-called educated gringos don't read labels, then what about the Latins? Forget about it. Again, in these kind of matters, Latin America's like the U.S. was back in the 70s and 80s. Who read labels back then? One last thing. I just want to remind you again about my January 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar. Let's face it, when the feces hits the ventilator, and it will, do you have a plan B? Go to expatwisdom.com and click on the seminar link. Have a plan B. Get your ducks lined up and come on down.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.